America Radio Network News, I'm Melanie Mitchell. Americans are being urged to take at least 1 minute this Memorial Day to reflect on the true meaning of the holiday. President Bush is asking that everyone observe the National Moment of Remembrance starting at 3 p.m. local time. In addition to the moment of silence, the president urged Americans to fly the flag at half-staff to honor fallen soldiers. Bush says these men and women sacrificed their lives for the cause of freedom and security of our nation, and by honoring them, we renew our commitment to upholding the democratic ideals they fought and died to preserve. School board members have voted to expel 31 Chicago-area high school students involved in a violent hazing incident earlier this month that was caught on videotape. The announcement was made at a meeting of Glenbrook North High School school board members last night that ran well past midnight. Some parents had insisted expulsion was not the answer, and one father was encouraging authorities to send the teens back to school. The incident at issue was an off-campus Powder Puff football game. Video showed girls being struck and forced to eat jerks. A boiler room explosion and fire aboard a cruise ship has killed 5 crew members and injured 17 others. No passengers were among those hurt on the Norwegian cruise line ship Norway, which was docked at the port of Miami. Officials suspect a steam leak caused the deadly blast yesterday. More than 2,100 passengers were evacuated, and officials are inspecting the ship for damage. The Norway normally sails from Miami on Sundays for 7-day cruises to the Eastern Caribbean. Foreign rescue teams have left earthquake-ravaged Algeria as 15,000 people left homeless by the disaster faced the threat of disease. Public anger has been mounting over the government's handling of last week's magnitude 6.7 quake. More than 2,200 people are known dead, and hundreds of others remain unaccounted for. U.S. intelligence officials say terrorists could be planning an orchestrated spring-summer worldwide offensive. Newsweek reports an attempted attack on the U.S. is likely in the next 30 to 90 days. The magazine cites intelligence sources who say Al-Qaeda operatives are in the United States.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Iraqi policemen have been given new uniforms as part of a revamp designed to separate them from Saddam Hussein's hardline regime. The men have all been asked to sign an agreement renouncing their affiliations to the Ba'ath Party before joining the force, which should be operational in the next few weeks. Israel says President Bush will take part in a peace summit in Jordan next week with the Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers. Israel's foreign minister made that announcement today during a Euro-Mediterranean meeting in Greece.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Another relative of toppled Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein is said to be in the hands of U.S. forces. U.S. Army officials say they've arrested a brother-in-law of Saddam over the weekend in Tikrit. They are now questioning Mulhana Hamoud Abdul-Jabbar at a holding facility at Baghdad's international airport. Some of the world's leading plastic surgeons gathered recently to discuss issues facing their field. Dr. Alexander Guba says there are new techniques to make people look their best.
The joining of liposuction and body sculpture has proceeded at a very advanced rate lately, and currently we're combining a high-tension body lift with liposuction to give really a trunk lift, particularly for those patients that have lost a large amount of weight.
Guba says the surgery could last 6 hours and does require an overnight stay in the hospital. He says the surgery could give you a look you haven't seen in 30 years. I'm Melanie Mitchell, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
probably like us with today's Car Clinic Minute. Every era is known for its protests. In the 70s, it was anti-war. In the 80s, anti-fur. And when I come back, I'll peacefully demonstrate for a 90s revolution that's still the rage. And I lock brakes.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
As the saying goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, Anti-Lock Braking Systems, or ABS, stands firmly for stopping and against locking. ABS originated in the aircraft industry, where stopping big, fast planes on short runways is critical. Adapted for panic stopping in cars, this sophisticated system uses a computer to sense when wheels are about to lock, then automatically regulates braking action. Now, don't protest. With Anti-Lock Brakes, forget pumping. Just press firmly and let ABS do the rest. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, I'm here. Good evening, truth seekers. Thank you for joining us. This is Resistance Radio, produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. If you would like to check in tonight, the number is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937, or email mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Welcome to the people listening on radiopower.org, Sirius Satellite 145, the IE America Radio Network. Where else? If you're listening tomorrow or next week, you are obviously listening on whiterosesociety.org. Anything else, Kathy? Huh? No? Okay, that's it. I've just spent the past, I feel like I've already been to work for 3 hours. I just spent the past hour and a half on the MikeMalloy.com website on the board. Boy, if you haven't gone there, if you have not been there yet, just do it, okay? What a group. Person strolled in, kind of like a fly that gets too close to a Venus flytrap. Some freeper, some right-winger strolled in. And the boys and girls on the site are carving him a new body orifice. I assume it's a him. But you ought to check it out. Just some funny stuff. MikeMalloy.net or MikeMalloy.com. Go to the boards. Go to the comments boards. It's fun. Well, another one bites the dust, huh? Bye-bye, Christy Todd Whitman. How many Bush defections does this make now? 20? 30? 50? Who knows? Who cares? His entire economic staff... There's a surprise. Who else? Mary Madeline, Karen Hughes, Ari the Liar. The list goes on and on. Boy, they're bailing like rats, aren't they? It's just like, oh, let us out of here. Now it's Christy Todd Whitman, who probably was most at odds with the Bush crime family of any of these knuckle draggers. But she's gone. She said in a letter to Bush that she was leaving to... spend time with her family. Everybody wants to spend time. What do they do? Why do they take the jobs? Why do these people, you know, whether they're corporate executives who get caught with their zippers down and their body parts into the cookie jar, or they get caught ripping off their shareholders or the board of directors or the workers?
Well, I think I'll resign because I want to spend some time with my family.
Or if they are military leaders who have been deep-sixed by Rumsfeld, well, I think I'd rather spend some time with my family. Okay. Or if they're government, well, I think I'd like to go spend time with my family. So Christy Todd Whitman is leaving the Bush crime family to go spend time with her family. She says, as rewarding as the past 2.5 years have been for me professionally, it is time to return to my home and husband in New Jersey. As rewarding? Eh? Rewarding? She has a history of what is referred to as clashing with the White House since she was named EPA director. It started with the fake president's abrupt decision to withdraw from the Kyoto Global Warming Treaty that was carefully negotiated by Al Gore. However, there's a bigger issue here than Christie. Wait, yeah, this is not a surprise. Come on. What the surprise here is that Whitman held on as long as she did. Okay, so let's all together now on three. We'll yawn. One, two, three. Christie Don Whitman's resigning. Oh, okay. Next story. But the bigger story here is that as the Bush crime family gets ready for a second attempt, there are still some vestiges of representative government left, still some democracy left in this country. It is swirling around an open drain, but it's still little bits and pieces are left. So as the Bush crime family gears up for the 2004 campaign to utterly destroy our system of government, word has come down from Karl Rove that anybody on the senior staff, any cabinet members, anybody out there, if you're thinking of leaving this administration, go now! Otherwise, they will be expected to remain aboard until after whatever is going to happen in this country in November of 2004. So Karl Rove is making it very clear. Once the campaign starts, the doors are locked, the lifeboats are secured, you ain't going nowhere except down with the Titanic. So if you're going to bail, bail now. So Christy Whitman takes a look at that and says, Jesus, I better get out of here. It's time to return to my home and husband in New Jersey. I'm going to go spend time with my family. During Bush's the early months of Bush's fake presidency, she advised him, according to the Associated Press, on a March 6, 2001 memo, that global warming, quote, is a credibility issue for the U.S. and the international community, end quote. She also said in that memo, we need to appear engaged in negotiations. Now, you see how Whitman was kind of fudging. We need to appear engaged. That doesn't mean we need to be engaged, but we need to appear that we are engaged in order to pacify these psychopathic sons of bitches in Europe. You know, people who still believe that it is inherent right of human beings, since they have nostrils and lungs, to breathe. So we have to give the appearance. You know, Christy Whitman may have been the hapless Christy Whitman. She is identified as a moderate Republican. I say, bat squeeze. She's as bad as the rest of these people. Worse, perhaps, because she allowed herself as a moderate Republican to join this crime family. A pox on you, Christy. Go spend time with your husband or whoever. Get out of town. Go away. But the flying monkey right media in this country, you see, tried to paint her as a moderate. They published her memo. Now, George, we have to appear engaged. Of course, the Bush crime family responded by withdrawing from that treaty. According to the flying monkey right media in this country, Whitman also pushed enforcement of one of the Clean Air Act provisions known as New Source Review. Now, that was the section that required that any increase in production from older factories, power plants, refineries, any of that be accompanied by state-of-the-art pollution controls. Now, you know what happened. The supporters of the Bush crime family just ignored that. They said, what, are you crazy? We put this little rat bastard in office. You think we're going to do this, this Clinton stuff? And they went about making the air more unbreathable. So Christie, though, gave the impression, at least the corporate media in this country gave the impression to us sheep out here, that Christie Whitman was pushing for enforcement of the Clean Air Act provision known as New Source Review. I really do believe, I'm Christie Todd Whitman. I have become a complete, pardon the expression, whore. I have no reflection on my gender. It's just, I've become a complete whore for polluting industries in this country. But I have to give the appearance. I have to give the appearance, like I advised Mr. Bush, to give the appearance that we are engaged in debate about the Kyoto Treaty. We give the appearance, we moderates. We're worse than the usual flying monkeys. At least the flying monkeys make no bones about where they stand. We moderate Republicans screw everything up by pretending or giving the appearance of being engaged. So, Christie, have a good time. I'm sure you'll make a lot of money. Somebody will nominate you to be president of some nice university in New Jersey. I'm sure you'll do fine. In an interview with CNN today, she said, "I'm not leaving because of clashes with the administration. In fact, I haven't had any." Oh, and by the way, as head of the EPA and part of the Bush crime family, I learned how to lie like this while I look right at the camera and right at the interviewer, this case on CNN. I'll lie all over the place. I haven't had any clashes with the administration. All that nonsense about the memos I wrote about Kyoto and the clean air this and the unpolluted that and the fish and the whatever. No, it never happened. It never happened. I've never had any clashes. I haven't had any. I love George. I'm leaving, she told CNN. I'm leaving now because it's the appropriate time to do it. Really?
Three White House officials who spoke on condition of anonymity insisted Whitman was not forced out, but wanted to go home to spend time with her family. They also said Mr. Bush was nowhere near selecting a new EPA chief.
Well, of course not. They have to have one vetted by the flying monkey. Right. There has to be one that meets the spittle test. For the conservative Christians in this country who are waiting for Jesus to reappear, so there's no point preserving anything. Jesus is going to come back and rapture the Christians, and then, I don't know, what happens next? Kathy, you know this stuff. What, a lake of fire? No, that's in hell. They just destroy all, all environmental stuff. Are we still on the air? Everything went dark here for a second. I guess we're still on the air. Okay, it must have been John Ashcroft. Boy, it just keeps happening around here, doesn't it? But anyway, who's going to be the new EPA chief? Well, a name is being batted about as a possible successor. His name is David Struess, Struhs. Now, somebody can do a Google and find out who this guy is, but right now he is the state of Florida's Department of Environmental Protection secretary. Yeah, one of Jeb's horrors. Okay, now, of course, Bush is going to be under pressure to replace Christie with a nominee who will be acceptable to his GOP supporters, and that means someone who will continue to destroy language, someone who believes that the only good tree is a chopped-down tree. The only good public lands are public lands that contains oil derricks and chemical factories. And that the only good environmentalists are, well, what the hell, I might as well say it, dead environmentalists, right? Whitman, in her letter to Bush, her resignation letter, defended the administration's environmental policies. She said, or she wrote, "Our work has been guided by the strong belief that environmental protection and economic prosperity can and must go hand in hand. And it's based upon that belief system that we've decided that the only good trees are gone trees and pollute the air and kill things. And, George, I need to get out of here and go spend time with my family. I can't take this anymore. You are really wacko nuts, George. You know that? You are just flaming insane. And I got to go, man. I've had enough. Let me out." Philip Clapp, president of the National Environmental Trust, an advocacy group for things like air that can be breathed, water that can be drunk, said Christie Whitman must now feel like her own long national nightmare is finally over. No EPA administrator has ever been so consistently and publicly humiliated by the White House. But as Christie said, I'm not leaving because of clashes with the administration. In fact, there haven't been any.
Dirty cash and baby three. Another one bites the dust. And another one comes out. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Now, baby. Baby two. Another one bites the dust.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How are you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out. It's worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
That one of these days we're going to have brand new types of cars, and we'll be more better at cleaning our air.
This is the stupidest man ever to, I don't know what, walk the streets of America. How's that? I can't wait till Spencer Abraham, who, quote, heads, close quote, the Department of Energy, resigns. This is a guy who said there should be no Department of Energy. Twice as a senator, he voted against it. You remember Spencer Abraham, don't you? No, it's not Dick Cheney's Energy Department. It's Spencer Abraham, little fat, round guy, Lebanese, I think, right? No, never mind. From my website, a couple of people, in referring to all these resignations, this is just so, if you haven't gone to the boards at MikeMolloy.com, you got to go. Somebody posted, how about a list of people who are not resigning from the Bush administration? Okay, I'll start. Osama bin Laden. Yeah, Saddam Hussein. Yeah. Another comment from the boards about all these resignations. Christy Whitman's statement about she wants to spend time with her family. The poster says, whereas Bush should be doing time with his family. Oh, it's just a barrel of laughs there. You got to check it out. You got to go. Rob is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Mike. You know, when you talk like a woman, I get this really disquieting image in my head. It kind of reminds me of that old, well, you ever see those old Dunkin' Donuts commercials where the guy with the big bushy mustache
puts
on a dress to try to infiltrate the competition?
Yeah, I love those commercials.
Yeah, you know, it's a real mixed bag. I'm not sure if you should do that, but it's dang funny.
Well, we'll leave that alone.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm calling about the latest bit of what it's hard not to think of as economic terrorism, the U.S. ban on Canadian beef.
Well, that's the payback for Chrétien for not supporting Bush. They found a cow infected with mad cow disease and dropped it onto the pastures out in, Manitoba? I don't even know what province all this occurred in, but economic terrorism, sure.
Yeah, even that's possible, though I'd never thought about that angle to it. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is they've totally jumped the gun.
Mm-hmm.
It was only, yesterday that they even had the thing tested.
Right.
It's only one animal out of, 30 million. And the fact of the matter is this bears an alarming resemblance to the SARS situation where they basically decided that they were going to ban all travel to Canada,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the incredible damage to the Canadian economy.
Yeah, when this story broke about, and I guess it just broke, yesterday about there or today about the cow that has mad cow disease, can you not seriously just see Karl Rove sitting in the pit beneath the White House just rubbing his hands gleefully and just saying, oh, God, this is great.
Oh, exactly. And the thing that's even more damaging is like so many other things that the Bush administration is doing, it is almost as damaging to our country long term as it is, you know, having nothing to do with the relationship between our countries because, whether it's the CDC or the NIH or the National Weather Service or any of these other agencies, that have established America as a world leader, the reason why that is because of their impartiality.
Right.
And their integrity. And in such a short amount of time, the Bush administration is completely destroying that. And the thing that's most astounding to me is how people don't see that as mm-hmm. being unpatriotic and totally contrary to his mission as president.
Well, the Bush supporters see nothing that the man does as being something that would contravene freedom or democracy. Or they think it's great. Yeah, get all that crap off the NIH website. Get all that stuff off of CDC. What is this about condoms? Oh, my God. I understand what you're saying, Rob.
Yep, it's really tragic.
It is indeed. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Have a nice evening. All right, quick break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Let it fly. Come on, baby, say it. Do you think I'm gonna cry in a foul ball? I ain't gonna die. So if you're gonna say goodbye, don't take all that and I let it rip. Let it fly. If you're gonna say goodbye, don't take all that and I let it rip. Let it fly.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H. Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lab number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Tension over a river in the Pacific Northwest ended when cooperation replaced competition. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Battles over water resources are raging in the Northwest and in California. The Columbia, Snake, Klamath, and other rivers don't have enough flow to meet competing demands. Power companies, farmers, cities, and others want a share, and the river ecosystems that support salmon often suffer. But one success story could serve as a model to help resolve these conflicts. Donald Sampson directs the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, which represents Native American tribes in the Northwest.
One of the highlights, most successful basins, has been the Umatilla Basin, where I'm originally from. And it was an effort by the tribes with some of the grassroots local citizens, the farming community, the ranching community, the logging community, to find what we call win-win solutions, in that we had competing demands for water, and we were able to work out solutions where we could share water, providing water for salmon and for irrigation.
Sampson says the 1985 agreement has allowed salmon in the Umatilla Basin to rebound from a population of 1,500 to about 30,000 today. He says cooperation was the key.
What we tried to do is really use that model of cooperation, developing mutually agreeable solutions that are locally based. It's something that needs to apply to the many other 28 watersheds in the upper part of the Columbia Basin. But it also can be exported to work in places like the Klamath River, where there's big issues about the uses of water for agriculture versus the uses of water for fish.
Sampson says these issues can't be solved without some political courage and a lot of cooperation. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
We have an advantage here in America. We can feed ourselves.
Well, you'll soon take care of that, won't you? Too stupid to be president. We can feed. We have an advantage in America. You can't do parodies of this guy. Clint is calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. We're still trying to survive Bush up here.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the incident at the Yale Law School today?
I caught little snitches and snatches. All I caught was there was a fire in a cloakroom or a basement or a lab or something. What happened?
Well, I'm looking at CNN's website after I heard a little story on it earlier, and they said there was a bomb that went off in the law school in an empty classroom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder which member of the Bush crime family planted it. A, B, what was on the news today we weren't supposed to hear or talk about, and they need a little bomb in Yale to divert our attention. Christy Todd Whitman, that's right. She resigned today, so this is a good diversion. I know. Let's set off a bomb at Yale.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that you think that Bush, and I'm reading now that Paul Bremer and other people are all from Yale, And Bush was in the state today of Connecticut, about an hour away.
And do you see something suspicious about that, Clint?
Oh, not with the Bushes. You know that.
Right. It's just another day in Bush world.
Yeah. And I also wanted to talk about how the economy just seems to be getting worse and worse. The Detroit Medical Center here in town just laid off another 1,000 employees. And
at a medical center?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that'll work. Mm-hmm.
And that's a medical center that serves the poorest of the people in Detroit.
Well, the Republicans believe that poor people don't deserve any sort of health care. If they did deserve health care, they'd get off their lazy, fill in the blank, and go get a job. Isn't that, get a job in Bush's America. Go to work at McDonald's or Burger King or wherever. Get a job, and then you don't have to worry about health care because you'll be so tired from working for minimum wage that you won't be able to think about worrying about health care or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and you won't have any beef for those McDonald's or Burger King.
Right. Oh, it's a strange world, Clint.
It sure is, and it just keeps getting stranger. It's like a bad book that you just can't, it just won't get out of your head.
I hear that. Thanks for checking in, Clint.
You take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Speaking of what Clint was talking about, the voice of the ruling class, that would be the New York Times on the editorial page, is getting a little bit upset. Today they had an editorial, one of their unsigned editorials. I don't know if Hal Raines wrote it or who, but the heading is, Will Congress Remember the Jobless? Will Congress the point they're trying to make is that the number of unemployed in this country keeps growing and growing and growing. And growing. Temporary federal benefits are about to expire for some of the people in this country the most hard-pressed. So what's Congress doing about it? They're considering Bush's tax break to the tune of $500 million for the top 10%, the wealthiest. Long-term tax benefits would do nothing to stimulate the economy, nothing to produce jobs, nothing whatsoever. Unless, the New York Times says, Congress acts this week, the suffering will deepen for close to 4 million Americans. Oh, dear God, none of whom probably buy the New York Times. The Times goes on to say, a vast extension of unemployment benefits is far more vital than the wrestling match over what mix of cuts in capital gains and dividend taxes will allow Bush to proclaim another economic growth victory. Well, it's not a wrestling match, New York Times. There are committed progressives, Democrats in the Congress who are not wrestling. They're trying their best to save what remains of this country. New York Times calls it a wrestling match. You want some eye-popping figures? How about the tally? The number of lost private sector jobs since Bush took over? 2.6 million. And still counting. 2.6 million jobs lost. How long has a little rat bastard been in office? Under 3 years, right? 2.6 million jobs. That's not bad. Isn't he averaging about, he's been in office, what, 2.6 years? 2.6 million, about a million jobs a year. At the end of 8 years, assuming he gets reelected, 8 million jobs gone? Now, this 2.6 million jobs lost since he took illegal control of this country is a record, according to the New York Times, for any modern presidency. A record. He's set another record. Too stupid to be president has set another record. The number of unemployed, 8.8 million, is the highest in a decade. Highest in a decade. That would be when his pappy was president, right? Yeah. While the number of jobs, the actual number of jobs, has slipped to a three-year low. Well, let's see. 3 years ago, we had an elected president. My, my. Look at all the astonishing records too stupid to be president is setting. Number of unemployed? Eh? Eh? Lost jobs? Eh? Oh. What's the point? Right? What's the point? When the American public has enough of this, we will turn this guy and his thugs out of office. Not a day before. Now, the Times does say, if we're really talking about
growth, then Congress will not find a stronger and more immediate stimulus for the economy than an extension of benefits to job-hungry Americans. No, that's not true. New York Times, you should forgive me for arguing with the august New York Times editorial board, but an extension of jobless benefits is not the way to go.
Well, what's the way to go, Mike?
Impeach this bastard and put in an elected president who has some idea on how to run the country, not to mention the economy. That would be the way to do it, because New York Times, 13 weeks from now, you'll just have to write another one of these half-witted editorials.
Well, unemployment benefits, emergency unemployment benefits are running out again, which means that there are going to be like 4 million people thrown off.
You're just going to be doing this over and over and over again, New York Times. So the idea is not to extend unemployment benefits, although that's necessary right now. But if you want an ultimate solution, get your ass to work, New York Times. As a member of the, what did you used to call it? The Fourth Estate. What used to be your model to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable or something like that? Isn't that what journalism is about? Instead of doing for George every single day what Monica did for Bill Clinton. I mean, isn't that what we're talking about here? Huh? So the New York Times says extend the benefits for job-hungry Americans. That's how we are referred to by the Times. Job-hungry Americans. Well, I don't happen to be job-hungry tonight. I have a job. But tomorrow night, next week, who knows? We are job-hungry Americans, eager to spend on basic needs. Eager to spend on basic needs? What are basic needs? Food? Shelter? Transportation? Those are basic needs. Medical care? Huh? We are eager to spend, the New York Times says. So extend the unemployment benefits to the 4 million Americans who are about to come tumbling off in the next week or two. But no. The Bush crime family is diverting its collective energy and power to enriching the wealthy by ending the dividend tax.
It's double taxation. That's what it is.
Jesus, it's like we never heard that word before, double taxation. What? When you go to the store and buy a pound of tofu, how many times has that pound of tofu been taxed? 2, 3, 5, 12? But where it concerns the dividend,
well, that's double taxation, and that's going to cause the people to make their money from money. It's going to upset them. It's going to upset them.
So, New York Times says extend the unemployment benefits. Yeah. So the U.S. economy is in shambles. It's getting worse and worse because the Bush crime family continues to loot it for their wealthy cronies. Via these tax cuts, the Constitution is wrecked. International arms control treaties gone. Bush made a huge mess at the UN by lying, spying on delegates, bribing, twisting arms. He's exposed his country to ridicule and contempt. And he's still the president.
Now we impeach Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton lied about having a little afternoon thing with his girlfriend. Now, we're not even sure he lied. It depends on what the definition of is.
But George W. Bush can wreck the economy, destroy the prestige of this country, take us into two wars that have left two countries in utter chaos, and God knows how many Americans, Afghanis, and Iraqis dead. Violated every single tenet put forth by the framers of this country 200 and some years ago and evolved over the past two centuries on how to conduct ourselves in the global community. Bush can destroy all that and he's not being impeached. But Bill Clinton? Well, Mike, we can't have that sort of thing going on in the Oval Office. Yeah. Laura is calling from Orlando. Hey, Laura, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Laura.
I got off topic listening to you. What, Kathy, what did I call about?
Say what?
There are so many things.
Oh, yes, there are. There are things all over. I know you called about Christy Todd Whitman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Ari Fleischer. And, you know, maybe he's a good guy after all. He doesn't want to keep telling lies.
Who, Ari Fleischer? No, he wants to get out so he can go make a lot of money. Ari Fleischer will probably get $50,000 to $60,000 a pop to give speeches to groups like the Unchristian Coalition and the Family Research Council or whatever these right-wing organizations are called. He'll probably wind up with a position in the Carlyle Group or on the board of directors of the Defense Policy Board. Ari Fleischer, look, he may be a thug and a liar and a punk, but really he's no fool. He knows, what's he making, $140,000, $150,000 a year as press secretary? Chump change, lunch money, pocket change.
Really?
He wants the big money, and he's going to get it now by getting out and getting in.
Oh, for standing at a podium and telling lies, he gets, you know, $150,000?
Well,
you're out of our money, our tax money. And another thing, a reporter asked, who is it, Asa Hutchinson, the deputy to Mr. Ridge, the Deuceland security, you know, sort of saying, well, we're going to call out all, you know, all the law enforcement and all that. And some lady, I don't know who she was, she goes, excuse me, but how are we going to pay for that? We're broke. The states are broke. We're going to send all the fire engines and the police officers out. Mm-hmm. On the, you know, we're orange alert, you know. Not to mention we're scaring a lot of people who aren't, you know, in tune with what's going on, going, oh, my God.
Well,
yeah,
that's
New York.
Right. That's basically the idea. Keep the population of this country in a high state of anxiety. They're much easier to manipulate, much easier to divert attention away from the destruction that the Bush crime family is perpetrating against all of us. But I'll come back to my question, Laura. Why is he not being impeached? Why is he not being removed from office? If ever there has been a president, and I'm considering the real Republican thugs like Dick Nixon and Ronald Reagan, but if ever there has been a president who has not done more to destroy this country, I don't know who it is. I don't know why some a brave Democrat has not stepped forward in the U.S. House of Representatives and introduced an article of or a bill of impeachment against this punk. There are probably 7 or 8 articles that could be included in that bill of impeachment, but they just don't seem to want to do it. I don't understand. In the meantime, we're just going to continue the spiral down until somebody in the Democratic Party has the courage to introduce a bill of impeachment.
Mike,
yeah.
you have said it. They're thugs. They're killers. And a lot of people are scared. It's a crime family.
Yeah, well, I'm not scared. Neither are you. Laura, thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate your call.
Thank you, dear.
All right, you have a nice evening. Yeah, we're not scared. aside from the fact that he's destroying the country, it's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, have you ever seen anything more comical than this whole group? Now, it's very dark comedy. It's very sick comedy because people are dying. Everybody from Iraqis to Paul Wellstone, people are being murdered. People are being shot out of the sky. People are, you know, people are dying. But when you kind of, if you can, transcend the death and destruction and take a look at the Bush crime family in toto, you see comedy. Comedy. Well, you have to try kind of hard. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I tell you one of the stories they wanted to blow off the screen today.
Okay.
Is the story right now I'm watching a repeat on C-SPAN. Is talking to the Texas Democratic House of Representatives, talking about the DPS's destruction.
That's right.
Of the records about their search for the wayward Democrats.
That's right.
The D's.
That's right. And that's one of the stories I've got on the stack tonight. You know, once again, what these people do, what the Bush crime family does, and I don't care if they're operating in Texas or Washington, no matter where they are, they have their tentacles all over the place. What they do when they can't withhold. By using an act of government to withhold information, they destroy it.
Yeah,
this is the Oliver North tactic of shredding, get rid of everything.
Well, see, now, with this stuff gone, the only evidence now is a tape, apparently, that Homeland Security has of whoever called.
Right.
With the, giving them the fake thing, saying it was a missing plane. And how long it's going to be before that falls in front of a magnet or something.
you know,
it kind of disappears.
Probably not long. Hey, thanks, Lou.
Hey, can I tell you one thing quick, Mike?
Yeah, quick.
Tomorrow morning, 7:45 on C-SPAN, I saw this on their schedule.
Yeah.
Lee Hamilton and Thomas Keene talking about the 9/11 investigation.
That'll be cool. I hope somebody watches it. Me, I'll be asleep.
I understand.
Thanks, Luke.
Mike.
All right, sir. Take care.
Versus we the people of the USA. Well, you got your war, just like dear old dad. Another kid's crusade to kill un-Americans. Will your war on terror finally be won when there's body parts strewn all?
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the word you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
Good day.
On the
America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're at 800-TALK. Yes, 800-825-5937. Do join us. Kodak is calling from Greenville, South Carolina, one of our over-the-road trucker fleet guys who listens on Sirius. Hey, Kodak.
Hey, good evening. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
Good. I'm going to make my points quick. When I called in, I told I was going to have to proclaim that, yes, Bush is not lying. Because he did promise that he would do the same things for the United States that he did for Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
So thumbs up there.
Only you could make the argument that the U.S. is 50 times bigger than Texas, so he's, well, whatever. But I get
I get
your point.
All right, as far as working on his legacy, I guess since he already has the highest deficit going, he's already got the vote there.
Oh, he's got his legacy all right. Death, destruction, and the wrecking of this economy that was handed to him the way an economy has not been handed off from one president to another, I don't know, in the past 120 years. And it took him less than 3 years to utterly, completely, and totally train wreck it.
Tonight I'm going to design a new T-shirt.
Yeah.
I survived the Bush years.
I survived. Well, they're not over yet, pal. Don't.
Yeah, true.
You know, there's another year and a half to go. So
we hope.
Well, yeah, we do hope. But I'm starting to think that this guy is eminently beatable, one way or the other. Like I said, we can either do it the way we are constitutionally structured to do it, or if enough people feel that once again the Bush crime family has stolen an election, I would expect millions of people to be in the streets and properly address this as a mob.
Well, you know, I just don't know what's wrong with the American people as to what kind of atrocity is going to have to come to the light in order for there to be, like you say, a organized vote against this. Because look at the Jessica Lynch story. Look how all government agencies are endorsing this lie.
Yeah.
On all levels, there's no one standing up saying this is an outrage.
Mm-hmm.
And where does it stop?
Well, it will stop. I mean, we are not yet anyway, the old Soviet Union. We are not yet anyway, the groupthink that you find in Japan. We are not yet anyway, the old Nazi Germany. We still are America. We still are individuals, and I still maintain that Bush got his chance. The Bush
mm-hmm.
the Bush crime family, they managed to take over the neighborhood grocery stores for a while, but we are coming back, and we're coming back strong. We're going to kick their asses out in the street where they belong. Kodak, we got a boogie. Thank you, sir.
All right, I'll talk to you next.
All right, drive safely. Appreciate it. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Melanie Mitchell. Some new inscriptions on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. will be honored this Memorial Day. The New York Times reports six new names were added to the wall on May 12th. Four of the men were not killed in Vietnam. They were wounded during the war but lived for many years with their injuries. Two other veterans who were killed in combat but were lost in the bureaucracy were also added. The wall contains more than 58,000 names of men and women who were killed in Vietnam or are missing in action. Since the memorial was dedicated in 1982, 296 names have been added. U.S. intelligence officials say terrorists could be planning an orchestrated spring-summer worldwide offensive. Newsweek reports an attempted attack on the U.S. is likely in the next 30 to 90 days. The magazine cites federal law enforcement and intelligence sources who say al-Qaeda operatives are in the U.S. An Iranian official says members of al-Qaeda have been arrested in his country, but none of them are top leaders of the terrorist network. State radio quoted a foreign ministry spokesman today as saying some al-Qaeda members had been taken into custody, but the detainees are not senior al-Qaeda members. He adds Iran is serious about confronting al-Qaeda and that the U.S. should follow logic and wisdom in international relations. U.S. officials say they have intelligence, which suggests senior al-Qaeda members hiding in Iran had prior knowledge of the suicide attacks earlier this month on three Saudi housing complexes. An economist worried that 0% car loans and historically low mortgages can't go much longer and the economy needs to turn the corner fairly soon. Wells Fargo stock market analyst Bonnie Newman says a personal debt level is very high in the country and there's no room for borrowing, so demand for goods is not picking up.
We have had so much stimulus that's been put into this economy. Monetary, fiscal, the decline in the dollar, and we should make for a better second half of this year.
Newman hopes that the current upward movement in the stock markets represents a real rally. Newman hopes that the current upward movement in the stock markets represents a real rally and signals the move to better economic times.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Top Iraqi and other Arab bankers say Saddam Hussein's former regime illegally hid away billions of dollars in cash from oil deals with foreign businesses in Lebanese and Jordanian banks. The bankers also claim that some of that money remains in those banks. A Bush summit may be in the cards by the end of next week on the Mideast. Israel's foreign minister says President Bush is likely to hold a session with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, and other leaders in Jordan.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A study by a Hong Kong university finds the SARS virus outbreak has caused a rise in psychological problems. One in five people have suffered mood disorders, according to the research. Psychiatrist Dr. Lee Singh says there are three main factors which have led to the rise in nervous disorders.
Well, one is the outbreak at Amar Garden, which really make people feel that it's unpreventable. Second is the large number of healthcare workers who, after taking the toughest precautionary measures, still come down with the disease. The third factor is the daily showing in the media that a large number of people, especially those with chronic diseases or elderly, actually suffer and die from the disease.
The study also finds that those who felt any direct connection to the killer disease through friends or relatives getting infected have a 50% higher rate of developing mood disorders. I'm Melanie Mitchell, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. If you'd like to call in, we're at 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Frankly, I would just as soon end the program right now and just go to MikeMalloy.net and go to the boards and read some of the incredibly funny stuff that's being posted there. Oh, my God. I am just totally impressed. The Reverend Mikeru, is that how you say it, Kathy? M-Y-K-E-R-U, Reverend Mikeru. This guy has me in stitches. They've caught a monkey. One of the flying monkeys got caught on the website. I won't say his handle. And they're just roasting him. I'll tell you, the odor, the scent of roasting monkey is just wafting all over the rest, all over the website. So anyway, check it out. Go to MikeMalloy.net, go to the boards, and take a look. Funny, funny stuff. Okay, where are we? Shelton. Shelton is calling from Alpharetta, Georgia. This your first time calling the program, Shelton?
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hi.
I listened to you for a long, long time. In fact, I used to listen to you on SB.
Oh, on good old WSB. Well, welcome to the new venue here.
Well, it was good old
your computer.
SB. It's not good new SB, though, is it?
No, it's not. WSB has just gone right into the crapper along with most talk radio in this country.
Yeah, but I love your show. I never got to call when you were in the day.
Well, here you are.
Here I am. I'm just curious, do you think that, what do you think will happen next year? Sometimes I feel almost positive. I feel like the wheels will come off of Bush, there's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times I think, well, you know, there's too much corporate interest and, you know, too many moneyed interests behind this guy for them to let him fall.
Well, I have been really kind of poor-mouthing all of us American sheeple here in the past 6 months because I've just gotten so pissed off. But I'll tell you, one of two things is going to happen. Either, like you say, the wheels are going to come off Bush, and I think they will, and it's going to filter down to those of us who only think with our wallets. It'll get to the point. Remember what Judas Stephanopoulos said and the people who ran the Clinton campaign back in 1992. It's the economy, stupid. For some reason, here in America, in the land of the free and the home of the knave, you have to be whacked in your wallet before you'll get off your ass and go vote. Now, I'm not referring to you. I'm just generic you.
Right, I understand.
We have to be unemployed. We have to be in food lines. We have to see everything collapsing before we decide, oh, geez, maybe we better change things. Now, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that there would have been enough votes that the Supreme Court couldn't have handed the election to Gore. There would have been enough to Bush. There would have been enough votes for Gore. After all, Gore was part of, Clinton Gore. But no, we American people, we decided, look, you know, I've just been feeling too good lately. Haven't had war for a long time. A lot of money in the bank, a lot of money in my portfolio. I think I'll just blow everything to pieces and vote for George Bush. And enough people did that, that it resulted in the handoff to the Bush crime family. So, to answer your question, sorry for the long-winded answer, but to answer your question, one of two things are going to happen. Either we, the American sheeple, are going to wake up and toss this thug out of office, or the election is going to be stacked in such a way that they'll try to steal it for a second time, and at that point, I honestly believe there will be millions of Americans who will take to the street, and all the Homeland Security, jive turkey nonsense, and U.S. Patriot Act crap will not stop what will turn into an absolute and utter demand that Bush get the hell out of town. Now, that's what I see happening. I don't see a second Bush term unless we are in a dictatorship.
Well, but, you know, when I talk to Republicans, they all say, in the first place, it doesn't matter that he wasn't elected. It doesn't matter. You know, that's the way it goes.
Well, there's your clue to stop talking to Republicans.
And,
you got to stop
doing something. They also say, though, that the economy is not his fault.
Right. I know. The successes were not Bush's, were not Clinton's.
That's what they say.
The successes in the decade of the 90s was really started way back in 1981 by Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And the failures of this punk who now sits in the Oval Office, that's because Bill Clinton got in there and screwed everything up. Shelton, the people who make statements like that, I swear before God, you shouldn't even be talking to them. A, you're not going to convince them. B, it's a waste of your precious breath, and with the Clean Skies Initiative or whatever the hell it's called, clear air or pristine amber waves of grain, whatever this stuff is, you're going to need your lungs to breathe. So, you know, don't waste your breath, I don't think. Some people say, no, you should get out there and evangelize to these poor Republicans. But I say no. Let them stew in their own crap and their own juice. Eventually, they will probably vote Democratic just to get out of the hell that Bush is putting us into.
Yeah, how do you like Sonny so far?
Sonny Perdue, the governor of Georgia?
Resident of the governor's office, yes.
For some reason, anytime I see Sonny Perdue, I just want to spit tobacco juice. And I don't chew tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, I just get this urge to go,
yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, as long as, you know, we don't need to give raises to teachers, as long as we can give tax cuts to millionaires, right?
There you go. Georgia is no different in certain respects from the other 49 states. We are tanking. We are going belly up. All the social services and social safety nets are being cut. When Sonny Perdue and Tom DeLay and the Bush crime family get through with this country, there will be nothing left. And that's why I say either we will replace him legally and peacefully and constitutionally November 2004, or there will be millions of people in the streets with what Pat Buchanan called flaming torches and pitchforks, and we will replace him that way.
Peasants with pitchforks.
Yeah. Say what?
Peasants with pitchforks.
That's us.
So do you think Dean can win?
I can't make any calls on anybody yet. Really can't. All I'm doing is saying, look, I support Dennis Kucinich because he happens to be a true Democrat. If Kucinich does not get the nomination and Lieberman gets it for the Democratic Party, I don't know. I'll probably have to open an artery and just quietly bleed to death because I'm not sure yet what I'll do. I'm just not sure what I'll do. Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks, Shelton.
Well, thank you.
Glad you found the program. I hope you call again.
I'll call again. Keep up the good work. Fight the good fight.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Always. All right, Shelton. Take care. I got an email from John in San Diego. I want to share it with you. This has to do with what we were talking about earlier in the program about, the New York Times now is saying, extend the unemployment benefits. You know, rather than get rid of Bush and put in a real economic team like, does Bill Clinton ring a bell? Look, we can say all kinds of bad things about Clinton, but economic, and we can talk about NAFTA. I understand, okay? But compared to the Bush crime family, okay? So let's just try to keep focused right there. But regarding the loss of jobs, regarding high unemployment, regarding the destruction of this economy during 2.5 years of the Bush crime family, John in San Diego sent this in. Do the fascist forces of the far right understand the mathematics of turning America into a minimum wage, high unemployment, unhealthy, and corporate-owned society? If Americans en masse are earning barely subsistence wages, who will buy the products that the CEOs earn such huge profits from? We, the vast American consumer, won't be able to do the one thing that many businesses rely on to maintain profit margins, buy stuff. Many laughed, John writes, at Jesse Jackson's observation in the 80s of how many of you own a VCR and how many of you own an ICBM. And what do we build in this country today? Remember that? I remember that. Many, John writes, thought he was a fool. Many are now out of work or working in low-wage service industry jobs. Who will be healthy or strong enough to provide their services? Who will be willing to do so with no incentive to work? Wasn't that their biggest argument against socialism or communism? No incentive to work exists in those systems? These are by far the most short-sighted individuals in U.S. political history. I believe that George W. was a history major in college. Yeah, right. He apparently didn't even earn that C. Well, John writes that in from San Diego. Yeah, John, I can't add anything to what you said. Sure, low-wage, service-oriented jobs, and then what? Look, the American consumer, by refinancing our homes, by spending on our credit cards, we have kept the Bush crime family afloat for 2.5 years economically. Were it not for the incredible expansion of this economy affected under Bill Clinton, and I'm not here to debate all these fine points. You can make arguments against that expansion, but I'm just not inclined to do so right now. It was that expansion that took the average $160,000 home and made it worth $320,000. And being good consumers that we are in this country, we immediately looked at that and said, well, damn, I think I'll take $100,000 out and go buy stuff. That's what has kept the Bush economy floating. Now, for those of us who didn't have that $160,000 house now worth $320,000, we did have 19 credit cards. So what do? Hey, well, they're running a sale over here at Macy's. I think I'll go buy stuff. Now, were these prudent moves? Probably not. But this is what has kept the Bush crime family afloat. Now, eventually, right? Eventually have to pay the credit card debt or file bankruptcy. And eventually, you spend all that money you took out of the equity of your house, right? Then what? So anyway, in New York City, they are, this is just, you want to know how bad it is? The police in New York City are writing tickets for things illegally sitting on a milk crate. I swear to God, what's this from? The AP. It appears the New York City budget crunch has police writing tickets for things that are moving and not moving. A Bronx man told the New York Daily News that he was given a ticket for sitting on a milk crate outside the hair salon where he works on the Grand Concourse. The ticket says, unauthorized use of a milk crate. The fine was not immediately known. But 19-year-old Jesse Tavares told the news he was flabbergasted when the police officer handed him the ticket Sunday afternoon.
Tavares said the cop told him to blame Bloomberg.
That's the mayor.
Owning a stolen milk crate can cost $100. But those at the hair salon say the milk crate's been out there for years. A few days ago, the Police Benevolent Association charged that street cops were being pressured to meet a quota in writing tickets to collect money for the city.
You see how this goes? Illegally sitting on a milk crate.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
It's always reassuring to learn that top White House officials are operating today in the time-honored tradition of so many Washington public servants. They are resigning to become high-paid corporate lobbyists, cashing in on their government connections. Take our brand-new Homeland Security Department. Please, take it far away and bury the whole bureaucratic, autocratic monstrosity in a landfill where it will eternally burp gas but otherwise won't bother us. Unfortunately, there it is, alive in Washington and gorging on some $40 billion of our tax dollars each year. The Homeland Czar is former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge. Working out of the White House, Ridge had four top deputies to help him create the Homeland Security Department. Did his inner circle move with him into the new agency? No, no, Pollyanna. All four are now lobbyists, helping corporate clients grab a chunk of the billions of dollars that HSD is now doling out in fat government contracts. When asked by a reporter about the obvious conflict of interest involved here, one of Ridge's former aides said, "This conversation is over," and hung up. Another was more forthcoming, noting that not only did she have great access to Ridge and other top HSD decision makers, but also that, quote, "all of us are very close friends with the governor and see him on many different occasions, not just professionally." Gosh, what a cozy world Washington is. Homeland Security is a bloated bureaucracy that won't make you and me one bit more secure, but it will secure billions in federal boondoggles for connected corporations. It's been dubbed a huge honeypot for lobbyists, and one enthusiastic lobbyist representing such fat cat military contractors as Lockheed Martin and Raytheon bragged, "We're trying to help our clients avoid the landmines and find the gold mines in Homeland Security. I'm very bullish on this." This is Jim Hightower saying, there you have it, your security dollars at work. Feel safer?
the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Did you hear what George Soros and who else? Warren Buffett had to say about Bush's tax cut? Now, why would I quote Buffett and Soros? Well, they happen to be number 2 and number 20-something, respectively, on the richest people in the known universe, right? You would think, wouldn't you, that the two of the wealthiest Americans would have no problem with a tax cut that would put millions of dollars in their pockets? Well, you'd think that. I would think that. But these guys, you know, these guys are multi-billionaires. Both of them yesterday came out against Bush's plan to eliminate taxes on corporate dividends and increase the tax cuts for the wealthy. And if anybody qualifies as being wealthy, I guess Warren Buffett would. I think he's number 2, isn't he, on Forbes' list of the 400. What's he worth? Oh, here it is. No, here it isn't. Oh, yeah, here it is. Buffett's wealth is estimated at $36 billion. Well, we know who number 1 is, right? The Microsoft dude. But here's Warren Buffett. We're $36 billion. I can't even get my mind around that figure. That means nothing to me. You know, that's like 36 to the 8th power or whatever. Oh, God, I've done it, haven't I? Now somebody's going to send me in the actual logarithm for $36 billion. Don't. Okay, I feel stupid enough already. Don't do that. Please don't do it. But anyway, here are these guys, Soros and Buffett, saying that this is insane. There was an op-ed piece in the Washington Post, and Buffett, who is the chairman of, what is it, Hathaway? I always think it's a shirt company, but really it's an investment a holding company. Anyway, he said he already pays about the same income tax as his receptionist, about 30%. Think about that for a second. Okay. But Buffett went on to say that with the planned dividend tax cut, he conceivably could be paying a mere 3% in income taxes. Let that sink in. But you see how the tax code is already structured, Truth Seeker. When someone with the income and wealth of Warren Buffett pays the same income tax as the person who works as his receptionist, hello, is there not something wrong with this picture? Just a tad? Somebody who's, if he's worth $36 billion, what's his income? Is his income, oh, I don't know what, pick a number, $1 billion a year? What does his receptionist make? Let's assume he or she is well paid, what, 80 grand a year? And they both pay at the same rate on their income tax? Is there not something just, oh, I don't know what's the word. Oh, I can't say the word on family radio. It starts with an F. But isn't there something blanked about that? Just a little bit. Wouldn't you think? Buffett went on to say that he quoted Kennedy. Kennedy's declaration that Americans should, quote, pay any price, bear any burden, end quote, for the country. And Buffett said that a 3% income tax rate seems a little bit light. Yeah, well, I would think so. He said supporters of making dividends tax-free like to paint critics of that idea as promoters of class warfare. The fact is, however, their proposal promotes class warfare for my class. Don't you just love him? I guess when you get to the point where you're worth $36 billion, you can strip away any pretense of being anything but totally, brutally honest. Now, George Soros also, now, you know, he's the poor guy between these two. He's only worth about $6 billion. But Soros, or $8 billion, who knows? Soros also dismissed the tax cuts. He said they would not revive the U.S. economy in the short term, but were only aimed at helping the rich get richer. Now, these are people who understand money. You know, even these chump-ass war profiteers like Cheney and Rumsfeld and Schultz and Pearl and the rest of these two-bit punks, you know, with their $7 billion, $700 million deal here and their $10 million deal there, these people don't understand money. Soros and Buffett do. And they are saying, this is a scam. Hello, America. This is a scam perpetrated by George W. Bush. So who are you going to listen to, huh? You're going to listen to Rush Limbaugh, or are you going to listen to Warren Buffett and George Soros? Yeah, right.
Bush es un hombre insincero. di una famiglia muy rica. Antes de que usted vuelta quiero.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
People began complaining about air pollution at least 7 centuries ago. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The impact of air pollution on the environment, the climate, and human health remains a top public issue, but it's not a new one. Barbara Fries is the author of Coal, A Human History.
We have complaints in Britain from as early as the 1300s about the impact of coal on the air of London. By the 1660s, the air of London was so thick with coal smoke and soot that one of the contemporary authors referred to the city as a suburb of hell.
Fries says people have noted the impact of air pollution on respiratory health for centuries, but she says they also blamed it for a lot of other things.
We also had a lot of concerns about it causing baldness, tooth decay, acne. The list goes on and on. It took a while for us to kind of narrow it down and figure out really what the problem was.
Fries says air pollution from coal and its link to respiratory disease became a major public health concern in the late 1800s. She says we haven't solved it yet.
We have made the absolute concentration of coal pollution go down, at least in urban settings, and yet we still have so much coal pollution that is spread out over huge areas throughout, you know, much of the eastern half of the United States, that we're now calculating, based on recent studies, that thousands and possibly tens of thousands of Americans may be dying every year from coal pollution. It is a public health threat of the first order. And generally speaking, I don't think the public knows that.
Fries says the United States burns more coal today than at any time in its history. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tax relief plan, which is important for a fiscal stimulus. I mean, it's incredibly positive news if you're worried about a federal government.
Oh, my God. I've got your fiscal stimulus, George. Anyway, just one more second, then we're coming to your phone calls. Back to George Soros, the 24th richest person in this star system. He said in a television interview yesterday that the U.S. economy is in such bad shape and is heading so far south that he is selling his U.S. dollars in the currency markets. Now, that had a brief but definite effect on money market, currency trading around the planet. His comments on CNBC according to the Reuters news agency, came as the dollar was heading to four-year lows against Europe's common currency. That would be the euro. See, here's another record set by the Bush thugs. The dollar tanking. And they have said they don't care. Well, we don't care about a strong dollar. This is the way they're fighting back at their mishandling of the economy. Because if we have a weak dollar, that means there'll be more imports. Is that what it means? More imports, or is it exports? I don't know. Whatever it does do, it will give the appearance that the economy is still tanking along, just or still chugging along, just like the way so many of us have spent our home equity or loaded up our credit cards. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors with these thugs. But in this interview, he—I love this word—assailed Bush administration policies. Why don't they just say, chop them up like into small pieces? He assailed Bush administration policies. Mr. Soros said he was buying the euro and the currencies of Australia, Canada, and New Zealand against the dollar, as well as gold. The euro closed above $1.17 yesterday. Gold set a three-month high at $370 an ounce. So the people who really do have the enormous truckloads of money, take a look at what Bush is doing and say, oh, Jesus, let me out of here. Soros is saying it literally. Let me out of here. Here, you want to buy some dollars quick before they're worth Iraqi dinars. Gizmo is at home. He is not out on the road. He is at home in Yakima. How do you say it?
Yakima.
Yakima, Washington. Gizmo, it's good to hear from you when you're not talking on a cell phone.
Yeah, hey. Well, I'm listening to you on the internet, and I'm looking at your website, and I'm reading all these posts for that flying monkey that's on there.
We caught a couple of them in the Venus flytrap that is that website. But is that not a hoot? Are there not some people posting there who are just absolute? I was sitting here laughing out loud during the breaks. These guys, whoever's posting there, they are so good.
Yeah, and this guy, he's just begging for their attention.
So. Oh, yeah. And you know, the website is only a week old, so I think a lot of the posters there are just kind of filing their fingernails on these monkeys who get caught there and think that they're going to do something. They're going to make a point with these hardcore liberals and progressives that are posting on the site. So it's fun to watch, but I've just been having a lot of fun.
I just made a post to your hello from Mike Malloy there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, what I wanted to call about, I wanted to find out something from the old wise one there, M.M.
Well, let me see. I think he just went to the bathroom. Wise one! Gizmo has a question! Okay, go ahead. I'll relay the question.
Okay, wise one on top of the mighty microphone. On these national debates, when the Democratic and the Republican candidates probably, you know, they hash out and they finally decide how many times they're going to debate and when and where and all that. How do the networks decide who to invite to these presidential debates? What I thought it was, and tell me if I'm wrong, they go off of a poll of likely voters, and if they pull you know, like 5% or better, then
I think that's
have
it.
To invite them to
yeah.
the debate.
Yeah, I think that's it. Who was the black guy that ran for president in 94 when Clinton was getting reelected?
Alan Keyes.
I was working at WSB Radio at the time here in Atlanta, and WSB provided a forum for, I think they picked four candidates of the Republican on the Republican side, and they left Alan Keyes out. So what Alan Keyes did was he showed up at the studios of WSB and started beating on the doors that were then locked. So WSB called the police, and they called WSB security, and they had the police out. And of course, all the local television media showed up with their cameras, and the stations that compete against WSB here in the Atlanta market. WXIA, WAGA, on and on and on. There are about four stations that compete with WSB. They had a field day because there is a presidential candidate being locked out of the debate at a television station. Huh? How about that?
Yeah.
So it is decided, like you said, the networks or the stations that hold these debates, they have some sort of criteria that they base this on.
Well, they say that the Democrat and the Republican parties get together and they come up with this poll
of likely
voters.
Some sort of formula.
You need to draw a certain percentage to get in on the debates. Well, I just had, I don't, you must know me by now, Mike. I keep having brainstorms.
Yeah.
And I got a groundswell brainstorm.
Okay.
Okay. It doesn't matter who's selected. We know Bush is going to run on the Republican
right.
ticket, but we don't know who's going to run on the Democratic ticket. But whoever it is going to be invited to the debates. There's no way around that.
Right.
Right? What happens if we start a grassroots campaign to have a third-party person put in those debates, and whether we tell them whether you're going to vote Republican, Democrat, whenever you're polled, just say you're going to vote for this guy. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't have
right.
to really vote for him,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be a hoot to get him on that national stage with two Republicans, you know. And, of course, I'm thinking maybe a truck driver there with no scruples would be a nice thing.
Whose name might be Gizmo?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
Well, can't you see Michael Lerner there? You know, and, oh,
yeah.
The next question goes to
I can.
Gizmo.
I definitely can. Sort of what was it 1980 when John Anderson did that? He got invited to several of the debates between Carter and Reagan. And wasn't that 1980 when John Anderson ran as an independent? From where? Where's he from? Minnesota? I don't know. Somebody will email that to me. But I like your idea. Just, of course, I've never been polled for anything except whether or not my car insurance is sufficient
well,
to my needs.
Well, there you go. I think the Republicans have a grip on the polling system because I know some of those polls, they cannot be true. The Republicans have found a way to manipulate that.
Oh, I don't doubt that any longer because I sit here some nights and astonished when I see 65 or 64 or 58% of the American public thinks George Bush is doing a good idea doing a good job, and I think to myself, in what arena in what area is he doing a good job? Just please give me one. I have tossed that out 15 or 20 times on this program. If there's a flying monkey or a Republican, or I guess I repeat myself, who wants to call in and say to this vast and erudite audience exactly what it is that George Bush has done that has benefited this country, please, I continue to beg to have this person call in, whomever he or she might be, and of course, the call never comes.
Yeah, well, they know that you'll chop them up. And
well, no, I'm willing to just, I usually...
Well, the only thing they can tell you is that, well, George Bush is going to give the average American $1,000 back
not,
in their income taxes.
Yeah, but no future tenses here. Present tense or past tense. What has he done that anybody in this country can look to and point at with pride? Now, the only monkey that we have call is David.
I heard him the other day.
Yeah, the guy who works at a Burger King in Birmingham and tries to convince people he drives an over-the-road truck.
He wants to blow his horn for you.
Yeah, I've got a horn he can blow. But am I allowed to say it on radio? You know, it's an air horn. But anyway, oh, God, are we still on the
you're not on the Internet, Mike.
But, you know, the guy said, David said on the air, what about the $300 tax thing that everybody got? And of course, you know, I had to ask him, well, what happened when you went to do your taxes this year, David, and found out that was just a little advance against this year's tax bill? And he just all said, well, but that's the only thing they can come up with. I challenge Republicans, right-wingers, flying monkeys, knuckle-draggers, whatever, the conservatives, to come up with one thing that George Bush has done that has been successful where it concerns the American public. And nobody can do it because such a thing does not exist. Hello?
Yeah, I'm
I thought they cut you off because of what I said.
No. You got a listener for life here, Mike.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, but anyway, that's true. And that other guy that called in the other day, I was listening, and he said Matrix Reloaded was terrible. You know, it was not. I went and saw it. It's great. Visuals are great. And if he didn't get the plot, that's because he's still plugged in.
That could be. You've got
it's
to.
It's great. Go see it.
We definitely will. We're going to go. Now that we work nights, Kathy and I are going to go see a matinee. It's $3 a ticket cheaper, and nobody's in the theater. So we're looking forward to it this week.
Go see it. It's great. And don't forget, don't walk out when the credits roll, Mike. After the credits are over, you'll get a preview of the next Matrix.
Oh, super. All right. Thanks for the heads up there.
Okay.
Thanks, Gizmo.
Bye-bye.
Glad you made it home okay. Go introduce yourself to your wife and family.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right, sir. Take care. Appreciate it. Gizmo's always on the road. Very quickly, Karl Rove, the little man behind the curtain in the Land of Oz, the man who staged managed the vicious attack against Paul Wellstone and eventually had him killed. He's preparing another assault on Midwestern democracy next year. John Nichols writing for Madison.com in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm freely adding my own phraseology here. But the target, Rove's new target, is another Democratic senator who refuses to march to the drumbeat of the corporate campaign contributors to which the Bush administration has sold its soul and to which it wants to sell America's future. You know what we're talking about. We're talking about Russ Feingold. John Nichols writes, just as Rove picked a Republican candidate and then manipulated campaign giving, special interest interventions, and the president's schedule to elect that candidate in Minnesota, he now wants to warp the political process in Wisconsin. Well, I would go beyond that, John, because I am an out of control, disrespectful, don't bother me with the facts radio talk show host. I think Karl Rove had Paul Wellstone and his family assassinated. And now it looks like Russ Feingold is in Karl Rove's crosshairs, and that's not figuratively speaking. Back to John's article, he writes, Rove's fascination with the Feingold race is no surprise. After all, Feingold is not just another Democrat. Now, you people, listen, I'm not trying to pick a fight. I love you all. Well, not the Republicans, not the right-wingers. I hate them. But for the most part, people who listen to this program, the Democrats, the Greens, the real Democrats, the anybody but Bush Democrats, listen. I want you to listen to this now, okay? Listen carefully. This is John Nichols writing at Madison.com. Rove's fascination with the Feingold race is no surprise. After all, Feingold is not just another Democrat in a Senate where, on too many issues, Democrats are little different from Republicans. Feingold cast the sole vote in the Senate against the administration's constitutionally dubious Patriot Act in 2001, and this year he was the first senator to attack efforts by the administration to use the Iraq War as an excuse to extend the Patriot Act's assault on civil liberties. Feingold was one of just 23 senators to refuse to grant the administration authorization to use force in Iraq, and only last week he and Florida Democrat Bob Graham boldly challenged the administration's mishandling of the war on terrorism. And those are just the high-profile squabbles that Feingold has had with this corrupt Bush crime family. On issues involving trade, the environment, racial profiling, death penalty, corporate power, and, lest we forget, campaign finance reform, Feingold has been out front. Feingold, you might say, has been acting close to what real Democrats are supposed to do. Now, Rove's job is to root out all the opposition to the administration, all opposition. And as was the case with Paul Wellstone, Rove is going to try to beat Feingold. And as John Nichols writes, that's because while the White House's primary goal is to attain a Senate majority large enough to allow Bush to move his agenda as easily as he has in the conservative-dominated House, Rove and his henchmen are most deeply concerned about Democrats who are willing to stand on principle against the president. Let me repeat that. Rove and his henchmen are most deeply concerned about Democrats who are willing to stand on principle. Nichols continues, Rove is a smart enough political operator to understand that while the White House agenda faces little threat from the likes of Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle, it could eventually be derailed by Democrats who recognize that the way to beat Bush is not with a kinder, gentler version of the Republican agenda, but by acting as a genuine opposition party. Do you all understand that? Do you understand what John Nichols is? Now, what is John Nichols? Is he a Ralph Nader Green Party enabler too? Huh? The Republicans understand that a threat from someone like Daschle, now I will add to that list Gephardt, Lieberman, Edwards, that a threat from these people are very easily manageable.
But if you have someone who stands as a genuine opposition leader, the Republicans are terrified. And right now, the closest person to that on their radar screen is Russ Feingold. Russ, in the name of whatever you consider to be holy, stay off of small campaign airplanes, or Rove will have you assassinated. Is that too strong? No, it's not. The tinfoil hat part of me actually believes that. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Over the edge and drown on the beach. I won't give up that easy, no. Too many tire tracks in the sands of time. Too many love affairs that stop on a dime. Well, oh, baby, I think it's time to make some change.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, 800-TALK-YES is the number. Mark is calling from Pensacola, Florida. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. It's just amazing. I'm calling about this. I read this on Democracy Now!, but when I look on all these websites, it just seems like there are 100 things every day that just make me mad. Mm-hmm. This is in St. Louis before the World Agricultural Forum that's coming up there. The St. Louis police staged a, quote, preemptive strike and arrested 27 activists prior to a demonstration. So they were thinking about protesting.
Yeah, that's what was that movie about arresting people preemptively? A Minority Report. That's where we are.
Right, right.
Yeah, the Department of Pre-Crime. If you think it, you have done it.
Listen how they got these people.
Okay.
At one of the buildings named Bolazon 15 people were arrested for allegedly occupying a condemned building. Residents of the house said the building, which the city sold to the occupants last year, was only condemned on the morning of the raid.
Oh, my God.
Another one they used, they said they had weapons in there. So the police did confiscate items ranging from CD-ROM drives to building supplies to diaries to puppets.
Oh, my God.
These are people that are members of the St. Louis Community Arts and Media Project. I mean, they wouldn't hurt a fly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this had to do with globalization on some level, right? What was the point?
Yeah, it says it's the World Agricultural Forum.
Okay.
So that, I imagine
right.
it's something like that. Right.
It has to do with, I'm sure, with the World Bank. It has to do with Frankenfood. It has to do with Monsanto, a chemical company trying to re-engineer a basic food crops so that they control the production of those food crops no matter where on the planet. And, again, that brings into sharp focus who do we want running on the Democratic ticket. Do we want somebody who says, well, okay, these people, we're going to disrupt this meeting of international food producers and food processors who make sure half the world is starving to keep the prices up. So it's okay that they were arrested. Do we want a Democrat like that, or do we want someone who will take a look at this and say, you know, this is insane? So one way to stop this is to put an end to this abomination called NAFTA. I mean, it's something to think about.
I know. And they're using public security forces to back up private
sure.
companies.
Sure. Why not? Why not? This is Bush's America. That's spelled AmericKKKA.
Right.
Hey, Mark, there's the music. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate
Bye.
You checking in, and thanks for sharing that with us. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Radio Network News, I'm Melanie Mitchell. Americans are being urged to take at least 1 minute this Memorial Day to reflect on the true meaning of the holiday. President Bush is asking that everyone observe the national moment of remembrance starting at 3 p.m. local time. In addition to the moment of silence, the president urged Americans to fly the flag at half staff to honor fallen soldiers. Bush says these men and women sacrificed their lives for the cause of freedom and security of our nation, and by honoring them, we renew our commitment to upholding the democratic ideals they fought and died to preserve. School board members have voted to expel 31 Chicago-area high school students involved in a violent hazing incident earlier this month that was caught on videotape. The announcement was made at a meeting of Glenbrook North High School school board members last night that ran well past midnight. Some parents had insisted expulsion was not the answer, and one father was encouraging authorities to send the teens back to school. The incident at issue was an off-campus Powder Puff football game. Video showed girls being struck and forced to eat dirt. A boiler room explosion and fire aboard a cruise ship has killed 5 crew members and injured 17 others. No passengers were among those hurt on the Norwegian cruise line ship Norway, which was docked at the port of Miami. Officials suspect a steam leak caused the deadly blast yesterday. More than 2,100 passengers were evacuated, and officials are inspecting the ship for damage. The Norway normally sails from Miami on Sundays for 7-day cruises to the Eastern Caribbean. Foreign rescue teams have left earthquake-ravaged Algeria as 15,000 people left homeless by the disaster faced the threat of disease. Public anger has been mounting over the government's handling of last week's magnitude 6.7 quake. More than 2,200 people are known dead, and hundreds of others remain unaccounted for. U.S. intelligence officials say terrorists could be planning an orchestrated spring-summer worldwide offensive. Newsweek reports an attempted attack on the U.S. is likely in the next 30 to 90 days. The magazine cites intelligence sources who say Al-Qaeda operatives are in the United States.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Iraqi policemen have been given new uniforms as part of a revamp designed to separate them from Saddam Hussein's hardline regime. The men have all been asked to sign an agreement renouncing their affiliations to the Ba'ath Party before joining the force, which should be operational in the next few weeks. Israel says President Bush will take part in a peace summit in Jordan next week with the Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers. Israel's foreign minister made that announcement today during a Euro-Mediterranean meeting in Greece.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Another relative of toppled Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein is said to be in the hands of U.S. forces. U.S. Army officials say they've arrested a brother-in-law of Saddam over the weekend in Tikrit. They are now questioning Mulhana Hamoud Abdul-Jabbar at a holding facility at Baghdad's international airport. Some of the world's leading plastic surgeons gathered recently to discuss issues facing their field. Dr. Alexander Guba says there are new techniques to make people look their best.
The joining of liposuction and body sculpture has proceeded at a very advanced rate lately, and currently we're combining a high-tension body lift with liposuction to give really a trunk lift, particularly for those patients that have lost a large amount of weight.
Guba says the surgery could last 6 hours and does require an overnight stay in the hospital. He says the surgery could give you a look you haven't seen in 30 years. I'm Melanie Mitchell, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Every era is known for its protests. In the 70s, it was anti-war. In the 80s, anti-fur. And when I come back, I'll peacefully demonstrate for a 90s revolution that's still the rage. And I lock brakes.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
As the saying goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, anti-lock braking systems, or ABS, stands firmly for stopping and against locking. ABS originated in the aircraft industry, where stopping big, fast planes on short runways is critical. Adapted for panic stopping in cars, this sophisticated system uses a computer to sense when wheels are about to lock, then automatically regulates braking action. Now, don't protest. With anti-lock brakes, forget pumping. Just press firmly and let ABS do the rest. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour, and right here, right now, boy, a big blush. Thanks to Ted in Rockford, Illinois, who sent in an email. John Anderson is from Rockford, Illinois. Where did I say he was from? What did I say? Wisconsin, Minnesota, one of the North Dakota, I don't know, California. But before the break last hour, Rockford, Illinois. John Anderson ran as an independent, and his home state, of course, was Illinois. Whew. Boy, every time that happens, I. Again, welcome to the people listening at radiopower.org or Sirius Satellite 140, Channel 145, Radio Left. If you're listening and it's not today, it's some other day, then you're listening on whiterosesociety.org plus the IE America Radio Network. And we do invite you to go visit... the site put up by our webmaster, Mark Marshall, Maximum Interactive is the name of the company. Check it out, MikeMalloy.com. Go to the comments boards or the message boards. What a hoot. All of a sudden, we've got about 300 members who are just these guys. Some of these people, guys and gals, ought to be writing for late night television. Is that good. So check out the website. And if you're a card-carrying member of the Flying Monkey Right and you don't like what you hear or see here on this program or see on the website or whatever, you know how to get in touch with me. Just send me an email, and we'll answer you on the website. You can go to MikeMalloy.com. There's an email place there. Just send me an email critiquing the program or the points of view you hear on the program, since most of you, obviously, are too scared or too stupid to call the program. So we can handle it a different way. We'd love to hear from people on the right. I got an email a few minutes ago, wanted to know if we were screening the phone calls. No, we never screen the phone calls. Anybody who calls, you know, unless Kathy answers the phone and it's just a stream of profanity, then, you know, oops, I shouldn't have said that. Now people will do that. I'm sorry, Kathy, I set you up, didn't I? Right, you have your air horn ready? Okay. Blow them a hole in their eardrum. But no, anybody that calls the program, we're more than happy to give you a shot on the air. I've said this over and over and over again. I understand why right-wingers don't call. It's you know, it's brutal to call a program where you can't say, yeah, Russia, you know, man, I agree with everything you're saying, and, you know, it's rough. And it's also probably rough to talk to a talk show host who will slice and dice you if you're not factually correct. So if you are afraid to call the program, and I understand your fear, right-wingers, I understand your fear, send me an email, and we'll make an ass of you on the comments board. If not there, we'll create a page for you. You know, like Bart Cop does. I love when you go to bartcop.com, every once in a while he will publish some monkey mail. Isn't that your favorite? That's my favorite. Well, it's not my favorite part of the site. I love his whole site. But the monkey mail thing on Bart Cop to me is just like rare moments, moments that you relish and treasure. Because these freaks write in to Bart Cop like they're going to get over on Bart. Yeah, that'll happen. Sure. So it's that sort of thing that, we're trying to start here. If you are a right-winger or a flying monkey, then I realize there's no difference there. If you're conservative or Republican, you think George Bush is Jesus' brother or next of kin or whatever, send me an email. I'd love to play with you, in a manner of speaking. Okay, where are we here? 800-TALK-YES is the number. Patrick. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Patrick, welcome to the program.
You know that brain behind Bush, Karl Rove?
Yes.
Reminds me of the Nickelodeon cartoon, Inky and the Brain.
You know, I haven't seen that. Is that, but there's a comparison?
Yeah.
I'll check it out. What's it called?
Inky and the Brain.
Inky and the Brain.
A little red-eyed, white mouth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like a little mad professor.
Well, I would hate to be a Russ Feingold right now, knowing that Karl Rove has decided that I need to be replaced in Wisconsin, because Rove, being the killer that he is probably trying to figure out a way to have Russ Feingold assassinated and make it look like there was something wrong with the de-icing equipment on his airplane or something.
Man.
That's just my opinion. We welcome yours.
The ice man.
Yeah. All right, what's up, Patrick?
Well, I read the Tom Hartman article, and I wouldn't trust Clear Channel having anything to do with IE America Broadcasting, because they may later claim they own you and drop you from existence.
What Tom was writing about was at the conference. Well, the thing he wrote at Common Dreams is self-explanatory, but what's his name? Gabe Hobbs of Clear Channel got up and made an impassioned, you know, Gabe Hobbs can't do anything impassioned. The man is really a cardboard man. But he said that Clear Channel, oh, yeah, after June 2nd, you see, as Tom pointed out, the magic date is June 2nd. That's when the FCC, with three Republicans and two Democrats, are going to vote on further consolidation. I frankly think that the whole story is a huge, a sweating pile of BS. I don't think Clear Channel or any of these groups have any plan to broaden the opinions expressed on their networks by including liberal or progressive talk radio. I simply do not believe it. I think that Gabe Hobbs put the story out because he knew it would be picked up by members of the press, and that would make it perhaps a little bit easier for the Republicans on the FCC to say, see, consolidation isn't so bad, further consolidation, because look what Clear Channel is going to do. They're going to include progressives, and I think, like I said, it's a smelly dung heap. I do not believe it. Yeah. I love my brother Tom Hartman, who works on this network, has his own program. I have great respect for him, especially now that I've met him and his wife. But I do think that Tom may have it wrong on this particular issue. I don't think any of these right-wing networks are going to do anything to broaden their audience where progressives or liberals or Democrats or thinking people might come back and listen to talk radio.
Well, they took on Alan Combs.
Say it again?
I mean, they got Alan Combs on TV.
Yeah, right. Well, he's he is to liberal talk radio what Pinocchio was to Geppetto.
I don't watch him either.
Yeah.
One other thing. The principal Democrat is Kucinich. And so what about Republicans coming after him about abortion? They did with Clinton. And besides...
They will. They'll come after Kucinich with anything they can. They'll say he's treasonous, unpatriotic, deserves to be taken out behind Stalingrad or behind the Kremlin and shot. Kucinich, personally, is anti-abortion. Politically, he states the obvious. It shouldn't be a political issue. End of story. Ding. Next round. But the Republicans will use anything they can get their slimy, gnarly hands on. And the fact that Kucinich is personally anti-abortion and all of a sudden politically pro-choice, obviously they're going to say, "Zee, flip-flop, oh, let's get him, oh, he's just a dirty, rotten liar, just like Clinton, what's the definition of the word is?" You know how they operate.
Well, I mean, if Clinton could have gotten by with it, I'm sure he can.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Hey, thanks, Patrick. I appreciate you checking in, pal. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Our Detroit bureau chief is calling. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, how's come you haven't been to the new website and logged on to the comments board and put up some of your pithy, P-I-T-H-Y, comments?
Actually, I've been just lurking there.
Oh, okay.
I'm logged in.
Okay,
great. I'm there.
Okay.
I'm on your on the board here, and I do see the. The happy mayhem that's going on there.
Oh, it's an absolute hoot.
Yeah, but wanted to talk about actually four quick things here. One on deflation. You know, I don't know that the American public actually understands when Greenspan starts talking about, well, we don't think we'll have much deflation. We don't think that's what the problem is. They don't understand what deflation actually means to them. And I had a discussion with a friend of mine who is a lawyer locally.
Uh-huh.
Who represents people sometimes in trying to sell houses, fairly large houses,
right.
Large dollars.
Right.
And he says the market's gotten very soft for second or third hand buyers of these houses because the values have in fact dropped.
Right.
And this underscored to me the idea that if you have a house out there that you've bought for, and I know this is in the atmosphere. High atmospheric range for a lot of people at $300,000, that you were thinking that the price was going to actually go up maybe 5% a year as far as the value anyway.
Right.
And now it's dropping. So when you go to sell it, it's not even worth what you paid for.
Right. You can't sell it. You've lost your equity. I understand that aspect of a deflated house market. I have to admit that I'm not quite clear on the term deflation as it applies across the economic spectrum in this country, whether it's where it affects jobs or wages or prices or
here's one way that it does. If you have a product that's made in the United States,
right,
then it's going to cost you less to buy that product in the United States than it would cost you to buy it from Germany.
Okay.
And what they're doing is right now letting the euro actually float higher.
Right.
Which means that goods and services from outside of the country
are more expensive.
Cost more. Right.
Okay.
And also inversely, goods and services from inside the country going out are more attractive.
Well, since Walmart, the known universe's largest retailer, I believe now imports about 60 to 70% of its goods, most of which come from China, are you saying then that the price of goods at Walmart, for people stupid enough to still buy there, those prices are going to go up?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Which means the buying power of my dollar, if I were stupid enough to go to Walmart, is going to go down.
That's what deflation is about.
And that's deflation. Okay.
That's what deflation was about.
Okay.
Of course, it obviously gets pretty complicated. I've looked in over the net at George Soros' writings, and he's particularly ticked at what Bush is doing. Of course, he's not stupid, so he's going to make money on it whichever way he goes. And it's he can afford to. The currency speculator,
right,
because he's got a whole lot of extra currency. The only currency I have extra the change I have left over from a pizza purchase.
Yeah, but you live in Detroit. You can get some of that good Canadian currency, right?
Yeah.
You can go across the Ambassador Bridge and come back with a whole wallet full of Canadian dollars.
Not unless I want to spend 3 hours on the bridge over in Mac.
Oh, that's true. That's right. Never mind.
The real interesting story out of Detroit is actually a microcosm of what's going on throughout the country. The big news that the Detroit Medical Center is going to cut 1,000 jobs.
Yeah, Clint in Dearborn, Michigan, who called in earlier tonight, said the same thing. He told us about that, and it's a result of Bush's economy.
Yep.
It's incredible. Medical centers having their staffs being cut. Isn't that nice, Daryl?
But the thing that I looked at in some down, you go down in the deep. That's the headline, and that's bad enough.
Okay, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back. We're talking about the headline. You're going to take us deeper in the story. Now, don't forget where we are, because I always forget during the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Matt sucks. Matt sucks. Matt sucks. I'd like to burn this textbook. I hate this stuff so much. Matt sucks. Matt sucks. Matt sucks. Matt sucks. Sometimes I think that I don't know that much.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
People who hate, not to hate, they hate the idea that somebody can go buy a home.
No, not quite, George. We hate the idea that someone like you can wind up as the, never mind. Back to Daryl, who was talking about the beginning of the article about the hospital closing in Detroit, but now he's taking us into the body of the article where it says...
They actually talks about how much this one medical center, there are evidently three major medical systems in the Detroit, and this one is called DMC, Detroit Medical Center,
right.
And it has provided $130 million in free care,
right?
Okay, in 2002 alone.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past 6 years, the system has lost more than $400 million and delivered at least that much in uncompensated care.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that people think about was, okay, that means it's going to be down in Detroit, but actually, it's the collapse of this system is having an impact on others. For instance, the one that I actually use is the Henry Ford Health System.
Mm-hmm.
It, along with the St. John Health System, are also in the red. They mm-hmm. both, all three have been reporting losses over the last 5, 6, 7 years. The free market model doesn't apply to healthcare systems.
Right.
Because what happens is when a person shows up, they're obligated to try to fix them up and patch them up.
Yeah, it'd be like if you walked into a major department store in Detroit and said, well, I don't have any money, and they said, well, here, you can have this new $400 suit anyway.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
We have the same thing here, Daryl. Grady Memorial Hospital, which is has the best trauma center, arguably, in the Southeast. It's a teaching hospital through Emory Medical School and the Morehouse College of Medicine. It treats everybody. It is supported partly by tax dollars from two of the 13 counties that make up Metro Atlanta, and it also receives federal money, which it is not getting. And because of the horrendous situation brought about by the Bush crime family, it's having to cut back on medical services. Now, you and I are going to get to this question: what the hell are people supposed to do that don't have health insurance because, A, they can't get it, or, B, they can't afford it, and they need to go to a hospital? What's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The public is going to continue to pay. The Bush crime family is going to continue to steal money left and right. You know, we can have the best, most powerful, best, with quotes around it, most powerful, most destructive military hardware in the known universe, but damn us if we try to take care of sick and injured and wounded people in this society. I can't stand this, Daryl. This makes me crazy. Okay, so, you know, it's not just Detroit or L.A. or New York. It's Atlanta. I'm sure it's St. Louis. I'm sure it's East Elbow, Missouri someplace. No matter where people are sick or need help or medical care, they can go screw themselves because the Bush crime family is more interested in death and destruction on a massive scale. Thank you for letting me get on the soapbox. All these people piss me off.
Well,
they
create the soapbox themselves. You know, the thing, though, that I'm hoping that somebody will end up starting to think about is, hey, wait a minute, this is not just Detroit, okay, which is
right.
It's a majority black city, okay, fine, I'm living out in the suburbs, da-da-da-da-da, it's not going to impact me. Hello, health is a national security issue.
That's right.
What are we most concerned about
with
regards to bioweapons?
That's right.
How do bioweapons actually become more effective when the health of your population is, in fact,
absolutely.
Degraded.
You know, take some of this money to the Office of Homeland Security and shore up public health in this country. Oh, gee, there's a communist idea.
Yeah. Well, here's one last little point. In fact, I'm stealing this off of another forum system that a guy had posted, And it says, I'm really looking for the candidate that will say the first thing he'll do in office is unseal the records of previous administrations so we can get a look at what kind of behavior was engaged in and by whom.
Yeah.
And the second thing he'll do is seek indictments against people who sold out their country and its inhabitants and the Constitution. And the third thing would be to bring the indicted to trial and make sure they're convicted. They'll pay the price, not be let off the hook.
And the fourth thing is put their asses in jail. Daryl, we're flat out of time.
Big time.
All right, sir. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate you checking in, pal. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's always going to be a delicacy. So lick your chops and eat the meat.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Water hyacinth is popular with some gardeners and despised by some natural resource managers. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Water hyacinth is a floating aquatic plant with large purple and violet flowers that's native to South America. Problems crop up when the plant gets out of home gardens and into lakes and marshes. What was a pretty plant then turns into a weed. Water hyacinths once clogged many lakes and rivers in Florida, but management agencies eventually brought it under control. The plants are a major problem in Africa, too. Jeffrey Howard works for the World Conservation Union. He recently wrote a report on invasive species in Africa's wetlands and lakes, and he says water hyacinths pose a serious environmental threat.
I think probably its greatest impact is that it covers the water surface completely. In parts of Lake Victoria, it grew so fast and it grew so thick that no light got through to the water and it used up all the oxygen.
Howard says the lack of light and oxygen killed off fish and aquatic plants and animals. The plants make it almost impossible for people to fish or to move across the water.
It stops the movement of boats. People can't get to the water's edge. People can't get to their boats. Even if they can get to their boats, they can't get them out into the water because of this thick growth of plants, which can grow, you know, a kilometer or two out into a lake.
Howard says African water management officials have started to fight water hyacinths with a weapon that worked in Florida. They're using two species of beetles from the plant's home range in South America. The beetles eat only water hyacinths. Howard says they've cleared out as much as 95% of the plants in a few places where they've been introduced. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Boy, once again, it's about 5 or 6 or 8 more stories I wanted to get to, and we are running out of time. Happens every night. Lance is calling from Manhattan, Illinois. Hey, Lance.
Anti-dittos, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I wanted to bring up a subject. Well, no, I didn't want to. I know it's not your favorite subject, but you kind of already brought it up today.
Yeah.
About the possibility of us actually electing a Democrat for president.
Yeah.
From your site and other sites that I've been to, I believe we are going to have to stop. What was the old expression? We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right.
They should change that to we have nothing to fear but everything. Because Democrats are coming up with 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 excuses to not vote for a Democrat as some sort of block against George Bush. And this is, what, the third or fourth time they've done this, and we just keep falling for it. And I know everyone is at different points of evolution in this,
right.
But I wish we would wake up, because I'm tired of the corporations telling me to not vote for a Democrat because the corporations who are Republicans tell me that guy has no chance to win and that I must vote for the Democrat that is most like a Republican. That just does not make any sense to me anymore. And I cannot do it.
Well, I understand. And I think, you know, I don't speak for anybody except myself. But I
sure.
think what people are, I'm following the debate that you're having on the boards at my website. And,
right.
And I know, and well, yeah, and I know the debates you've had in the past. I think, though, what I'm starting to filter out of these heated discussions is this. First of all, I think there's a lot of people out there who, like you, understand that there's certain Democrats that are not Democrats.
All of them, almost, except for
right, right.
One.
But I think these people are saying they're saying to you. Here's what they're saying, Lance. Are you suggesting to me that if I support a Kucinich or a Dean or whomever, or in your case, Lance Kucinich, if I support Kucinich, and he does not get the Democratic Party nominee, and let's say Dean does. Are you suggesting to me, Lance, at that point I shouldn't vote or I should vote for a third-party candidate? And I think the point that they're making, and I think anyone with common sense can understand this. I'm not saying necessarily agree with it, but can understand.
Sure.
Which would be worse? A Democrat who leans to the Clinton DLC mode or George W. Bush? I use the term reelected loosely because he wasn't elected to begin with.
No,
but so if it comes to that choice, I think what these people are saying is that, Lance, you can say whatever you want, but given a choice between somebody with a D after their name and this son of a bitch Bush again, I am going, Lance, to vote with the man with the D behind his name, even if it is Kerry or Lieberman or Gephardt.
And I can understand
right.
the point of view, but I don't agree with it.
No, and I don't fundamentally, I don't agree with it either. But what I'm saying is this. I personally, I've done this before when Cynthia McKinney was run out of office down here and they put this other woman in. She had a D after her name. I had a choice when after the primary, I could have stayed home or I could have voted for the Republican. And I decided, no, I'm not real fond of this woman who's a state court judge. But I went in and hit the touch screen for her because she was at least in name a Democrat. When I looked at her record, I thought to myself, okay, you know, this is not Cynthia McKinney, but by God, it is not this punk Republican who's running in the 5th Congressional District. So I think what a lot of people are concerned about, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, what a lot of people are concerned about is that this thug will be elected to another four-year term. And I think another thing a lot of people are still pissed off about is the statements made by Nader that there's no difference between the Republican and the Democrat parties. Now, I happen to agree that there probably isn't. But there is a difference in the personal values of these candidates. George Bush has no values.
Right.
And I think Al Gore did.
Some.
Okay, enough that we wouldn't have wound up where we are with Bush. So here's what I'm suggesting, and I'm still, look, it's a year and a half away, but what I'm working out in my mind is First of all, I agree with what you say, and I agree with the people who disagree with what you say, but are Democrats, are trying to be progressives. I agree.
Sure, it's a twisted circle like you were talking about.
I agree with every point that's being made. I also know that this republic will not survive 4 more years of George Bush. So
sure.
we all are going to have a real personal crisis to deal with November 4th or whenever it is, 2004. And I hope enough people will figure it out. In whatever manner it can be figured out, to put George Bush and his murderous thugs out of office.
The only part of that I cannot agree with is because the game has been played too long. Every election...
But we can't change it in one election cycle.
But when are we going to?
Well, we can start...
doing it. The liberal will never have a chance.
I know. I understand.
Will they ever allow us to...
No. They're not going to allow us anything.
Will we ever come up and take it?
Well, I said in the run-up to 2000, what I was talking about was, look, the only true Democrat running right now is Ralph Nader. But he happens to be running under the auspices of the Green Party. The Green Party needs to, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, the Green Party needs to get a few governorships, get a few state legislatures, get a few members of Congress, get somebody in the Senate and the House, get somebody in a cabinet position. Let the Green Party build itself. I'll support the building of the Green Party. I'll support it. I believe in their goals. I also believe in the ideals of the traditional Democratic Party, and there's not that much difference between the two.
No.
Between traditional Democrats and Greens. There's
actually,
not that
Greens
much difference.
Greens are more Democratic now than Democrats.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And I agree with that. But the argument being made, and you can tell by the passion on both sides, on your side and several people who share your point of view, and on the side of the people who do not want to see another 4 years of Bush, you can tell that the passions are running high here. And that's good. I mean, it's good to have that kind of passion.
But don't you think there has to be, because we're Democrats and not Republicans, a point of honesty where we say,
yes,
look, we just can't keep electing Democrats who support, and you talked about it earlier, NAFTA.
Right, I understand.
We can't have Democrats who support NAFTA and keep voting for these people because they're Republicans.
Well, all I can say is, and I know you'll do this, keep the discussion going.
Sure. It's a lot of fun. Half my stuff is sarcastic, but it's really a lot of fun. We have tore a few righties up. They come up and get in between our arguments, and we just shred them real quick and then go about our business.
Right. They don't have much of a chance on this website. But,
no, not at all.
But I appreciate the points, and you know this. I appreciate the points you're making. I appreciate the points these traditional Democrats are making. I understand the fear and loathing. The fear on their side, the loathing on yours.
Yeah, I'm just tired of having to be – I'm really tired of having it told to me that I have to vote for a Republican to block a Republican.
I understand.
I'm not doing that anymore.
I understand.
I just can't do it.
I understand.
And I know you don't really care for the topic because it causes – you kind of brought it up earlier, and I thought, well,
I know. No, it's okay. It's okay. You can bring it up. I just don't like to be caught in the crossfire between Democrats and Greens, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Democrats and Democrats, and mm-hmm. That's fine with me. It just got real hairy last election cycle being caught between Democrats and Greens when I respect both. Honor both, and I just wish that there was some way in hell to join forces between the Greens and the Democrats, get rid of these fake Democratic Party candidates like Lieberman, come up with some real Democrats, have the Greens and the Democrats work to throw this fascist regime out of office.
Well, there is a way. Vote for Dennis Kucinich.
Well, but a lot of Democrats don't see it that way, and a lot of Greens don't see it that way. Maybe Kucinich seems to be starting to get a little bit of press, a little bit of coverage, a little bit of exposure. If enough people can hear his message, you've pointed this out before, people don't know where Kucinich stands, because in order to find out where he stands, you have to take the initiative yourself and go to his website. The whorish corporate media in this country is providing no information about him. So if enough people do that, then perhaps there can be an alliance between Greens and Democrats and try to restore democracy to this country. I hope so.
I hope so too, Mike. I'm sorry about the awkward conversation. I know you don't care for this subject.
No, it's okay. It has to be talked about. It has to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you called in.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Lance, take care. I appreciate it. If you've gotten involved in this discussion, you know what Lance is talking about. If you've seen his debates and discussions on other websites, you can see it now at MikeMalloy.com. Go to the boards. This is a tough issue. It is a tough issue. I fully understand Lance's position. I fully understand the Democrats who are arguing with Lance, saying, "Look, you know, you're too idealistic. You're expecting purity in a world where there is no purity." I understand that argument too, but from an emotional gut level, you know, from my head, I kind of agree with the people who disagree with Lance. From my heart, I agree with Lance who disagree. You understand? You may be having that conflict, too. The goal has got to be, I've said on this program, I will not vote for a fake Democrat. I've said that. I'm not going to hedge and say what I meant was in the primaries. That's exactly how I feel. But and the reason I feel that way is because I have voted for fake Democrats, the most recent being the one I just said, the woman who ran on the Democratic ticket that replaced Cynthia McKinney. I hated that. But I hit the screen for her. I don't know where the vote went. Probably went down the toilet. But November 4th or November 6th or whenever the election is in 2004, I'm going to do whatever I can legally and peacefully to see that George Bush does not occupy the Oval Office for another 4 years. And I at this point, I don't know. Does that mean compromise? I don't know. What does it mean to you? But thank God Lance is out there to push this discussion, because it needs to be pushed. It needs to be pushed. We Democrats, who are not necessarily Green Party members, we may be Green Party sympathizers, we may be closet Green Party, who the hell knows what we are, but we Democrats who have very slowly, and it's been a very insidious process, of accepting the DLC point of view instead of the true Democrat point of view. Those are the people Lance is trying to reach, and I happen to be one of them. But thank God there's somebody like Lance out there pushing this discussion, so that if you declare yourself a Democrat, understand what you're declaring. Either you are a Democrat that holds to the traditional essential values of the Democratic Party, or you're not. But you can't have it both ways. If you're a DLC Democrat, okay. If you're a Democrat that subscribes to the underlying principles and theories and belief system of the Democratic Party, okay. But you can't be both. Now, what does that mean, you can't be both? I don't know. It probably doesn't mean anything. But you can understand, and as much as some of you people argue with Lance, and the arguments are great, keep them going. But you understand where he's coming from. And in his heart, he understands where you're coming from. It's rough. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party leadership have put us in this trick bag. By us, I mean Greens, Democrats. Here we are. What are we doing? Fighting amongst ourselves. We're not fighting, but we're trying to decide who's the most pure. This is like, who's the best communist, right? That's what they're going to lay on us next. It's like Trotskyites and Stalinists arguing. But if the Democratic Party is not reconnected to its elemental or essential roots, then it's not the Democratic Party. The problem is, in the process of trying to reconnect it, we may lose everything. And it's up to you to decide the risk. It's up to me. Truth is, it may not be up to anybody. The outcome may have already been determined. Blackboxvoting.com. Check it out. Okay. ML is calling from Santa Fe. ML, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I wanted to say that I found that just this past week, the media seems to be more friendly towards the left. Now, I don't know what's going on. I'm still suspicious and cynical, and especially knowing that Fleischer and Whitman quit.
Right.
And, to give you an example, like the Texas Bees story.
Right.
Uh-huh. Last week... they ridiculed him in the media,
mm-hmm.
And today they told a story about why they did it, you know, to try to stop the Republicans from redefining the district.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought up the big issue about how the Republicans were using the Homeland Security and that stuff.
Yeah.
Then I know Gephardt's you know, Republican light, but he was on tonight and he started to criticize the Republicans and Bush, and you know, this is what I was hoping to hear from the Democratic Party for a long time.
And they didn't cut him off. They didn't go to commercials. They didn't say, "Oops, wait a minute, we have a terrorist alert."
No. Then I read on Buzz Flash that Graham was on Meet the Press, and he was talking about 9/11 and some of the unanswered questions that Bush knew.
Mm-hmm.
So
you want to be optimistic.
No, I feel there's something going on behind the scenes. Maybe it's because the media, they're trying to consolidate, and the vote's not going to be until June.
Right.
A couple of days.
Right.
So maybe they want to act like they're showing the full picture.
Right. Okay, all right. Well, back into that comfortable cynicism where I dwell, too. Yeah, if there is a softening, quote, of major media approach to these issues, yeah, it probably has a lot to do with June 2nd. Well, let's try to make everybody think we're trying to be fair and balanced. Oh, wait a minute, Fox uses that, and then we'll get a favorable vote. They've got the favorable vote anyway. The 3-2 vote is a given. It's already there. So I don't know. Maybe something is going on. I would like to hope so, ML. I would like to hope so. Listen, thank you very much for calling. Hope you call in again.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. We'll be right back.
Everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. Sony inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you radio is a sound salvation. Radio is bringing us a nation. Say you better listen to the voice of reason. Say they don't give you any charge because they think that it's treason. So you had better do what you were told.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the word you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Boy, I've said it before. Time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Hey, hi, Mike. I was interested in this whole 911, not the 911, the red alert thing that happened today. Kind of a crack up. Are you familiar with Randy Rhodes?
Yes.
On WJNO down in...
I've never heard her on the air, but I met her in Washington.
Oh, she's great. Uh-huh. And she's got an afternoon show, so she doesn't compete against you. But she's got a great... people go to the WJNO website and then click on her name, she's got this great little piece on there regarding the coincidence of Bush doing the Orange Alert at the very time that he was introducing the total information awareness. That's completely fallen off the radar.
Which, by the way, has had a name change. It's now called the Terrorist Information Awareness Network. Are you aware of that?
No, I sure wasn't.
Yeah, they changed the word total to terrorist.
Okay. Well, yeah, that'll
help
all our search engines, so that's good to know. But there was one other thing, and this was just by coincidence. Yesterday I was watching the before the noon hour, they had Tom Ridge, and he was being grilled by some congressional I think it was a House subcommittee on terrorism.
Uh-huh.
And they had him for up to 11:45, and he had this very important meeting with Bush at 11:45. Well, he buzzed on over. He was being grilled on Homeland Security, and he, gosh darn it, didn't let them know that he was going to bring it up to an Orange Alert, and his very meeting with Bush was to bring it up to an Orange Alert.
Oh, my God.
So if you look at it...
Maximum PR value, control everything. Yeah.
You've been talking about the Democrats, and it's just this sort of thing that has been really infuriating people, both on Democratic and Republican sides of the aisle, because these people are not being told anything. They are supposed to be the powers in America, and they are being treated like school children.
Right.
It was only in the very last few seconds that I think it was the subcommittee chairman brings up, I just heard on the radio that we're going to go up to an orange alert. What do you have to say about
and,
it?
And
Ridge didn't even have to answer the
question.
Say.
Had nothing to say. Hey, listen, David, we're flat out of time. I want to continue this, but you got to call me earlier. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. Appreciate it. We got to go. Program tonight. Engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you very much for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network.